What else can I do?
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 Welcome to this Jacob's Well podcast. My name is Chris Tripolino.
I'm Melissa Locke.
And I'm Greg Meyer.
And Greg, this week you spoke with our friend Eddie Hamilton, a man of many, many facets, many talents. He's an artist and special ed teacher, and he has all kinds of areas that we were able to kind of draw on and poke at, including his conversations on TPT's Minnesota Original and his recent TEDx talk. And one of the things that you've mentioned kind of being left on the cutting room floor was this idea of competence. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right. So in talking with Eddie, he developed this mantra in high school, which is this question he has learned to ask himself, what else can I do? And it's really a profound question. It really has pushed him a long ways, and actually has been really important for me now too since I talked to him. But when we were talking about it, this question of competence came up. And what that is, like competence, I think, is these areas that we feel that we are able to do successfully, efficiently. We respect ourselves because we can do it. Hopefully we get respect from other people. And when we develop an area of competence, that's like a safety place for us. We feel like my existence is, you know, proven here, or what?
Maybe it's that time where you feel like, I'm okay. I have a purpose. I'm good.
I'm worth the space I occupy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so this question of what else can I do says your competence isn't enough. Or it's not the right place to be or something. It's stretching you beyond your competence. And I think a lot of times we don't venture into the what else can I do question, or we even maybe avoid it, or we say no to it, whatever, because I have my competence. I'm not going to mess with that. Like, I worked hard to get here, and I can justify my existence, so don't mess with that.
Yeah. Are you saying competence is a bad thing?
No, but I think it's competence gets stale.
There's a comfort element to it that where we, I think you feel stable when you exist and kind of work from solely that place of competence.
There's this thing called change that happens in the universe.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's just, sorry to shake you. And everything changes. Like Kodak had great competence in producing 35 millimeter film for cameras. And guess what? They aren't making 35 millimeter for cameras anymore. Oh, a little bit, you know, but they're no way. I mean, they're probably 2% of the company they were 30 years ago. So the world changes, and so what you're competent at doesn't work. I know sports people who say the surest strategy for failure is repeating past success. But that's the external change, but internal change too. Like, as you grow, the competence that was meaningful for you and gave you the sense of fulfillment and really expressed who you were just doesn't change because you're a new person now. You've got new things going on in your life. I was competent raising one child. I have two children. I was competent as a newlywed, but now our marriage is 7 years old, and it takes a whole new set of skills. And, you know, competence needs to keep growing. We need to be willing to let go of old competence and sign on to new competence. But where it gets really scary, I think, and where the what else can you do question comes and really pokes us uncomfortably, is that when you let go of old competence to reach for a new competence, one is you maybe don't know what the new competence is, but the big thing is you're incompetent at it, you know?
Yeah, and you know enough to not want to do that.
Yeah, you know, you maybe were incompetent long enough to judge all the incompetent dolts around you, and now I'm willing to be that person, like I'm willing to be a learner. You know, for a lot of us in the workplace, that means, you know, you maybe are mid-career and really good at your job, but you see the workplace really shifting and all these young millennials are there, and you need to step back and say, I need to learn from you. Mm-hmm. So I'm a learner from people that are just barely out of school. Are you willing? Do you have the humility? Do you have the honesty? Basically, I would say, do you have the engagement with life? Do you have the hope and the possibility? Are you excited enough about what is important to you that you're willing to say, I just want to learn. I mean, that learning and growing is more important than competence.
That's a big statement, and that could change a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes I just want to name people who might not relate to feeling competent, but I think even those people who would report feeling, you know, gosh, I don't consider myself real competent at anything right now, we probably, you know, have our places where we feel comfortable, at least, and maybe still a version of this that we can point to. And to allow ourselves permission and to see the possibility of feeling incompetent is good.
And it might be that those people are maybe even better than most at kind of continuing to grow and being open to the learning. And that might be why they have that sense too. I don't know.
Yeah. But I do think so. We have a like conscious competence. Like I know I'm good at this. I'm good at playing tennis. I'm good at my job, whatever it might be. But we also have unconscious competence. Like I'm depressed, but I know how to get through a day. Basically what you're saying is I'm competent at surviving in my depression. Am I willing to mess with whatever my formula is for something more?
Yeah.
And so that person probably wouldn't say I'm competent at anything, but they actually are, and they are resting on that.
Yeah.
Or potentially, I mean, that's a danger. And so to shake that person up, and certainly have walked this road with a number of people, and say, what else could you do to reach for a different life? And I've seen people like go everywhere, try to figure out anything to grow beyond whatever it is they're stuck. And I've seen people just say, no. I worked hard enough to have this much balance in my life right now. And they might be right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying always be on the
shake
move.
It up. But yeah.
Just, you know.
Well, that's a really good point, that you need seasons. You need times of what is that?
Seasons
regrouping,
for change.
Resting,
Sabbaths.
Yeah.
Right. So what are some of the indicators? Like, I would say if I start feeling itchy, if I start feeling stale, bored, if I find myself apologizing for what I do all the time, maybe those are signs that it's time to shake things up and to ask myself this what else can I do question.
I almost wonder about almost an ego question of like, could that be an indicator like, I'm really great at this, or the accolades of like, you know, hearing from lots of people, this is incredible or whatever. And that hopefully you just are surrounded by people that are giving good, positive feedback regularly so that you get a sense of that. But I don't think it hurts, though, to sort of be asking that question. What else can I do in the midst of those comments, that kind of feedback, too?
Right. I think that's so good. And one of the indicators that are similar to that I would look at is like if I am deriving too much of my self-identity around any one thing, it's kind of like all your eggs in one basket. Maybe that's a sign that it's time to diversify it, to break it up. Like, so maybe I don't even shed that competence, but maybe I look for other areas. Like, am I not only a good boss, but am I also being a good father? Am I developing that at the same rate?
Mm-hmm.
In fairness, though, you've also been talking with me a little bit about balance and being lopsided in those good ways. You know, we tend to have that myth that we keep chasing of how we should be well-rounded to the point of equal and balance. And
so that relationship between balance and lopsided, we're going to get at another podcast. That's some really important stuff, and we'll be talking about it for long. So the other last thing I'd like to touch on with this competence issue and the what else can I do question is, when you do decide to seriously dive into that question and start letting go of your hard-earned competence, what do you need to surround yourself with? One is, Melissa, you were saying, like, are you ready for this? Is it the right time in life for you to take that step?
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing is, who's your supportive community that helps you see this stuff? Because this is new thinking, they're new questions, you're going to have a hard time evaluating it. You might be very emotional, too, so you don't always make the best choices. So who are the people that will help you get a good, honest reflection about your decision? And then support you
when
walk.
You're being incompetent, because that feeling of being incompetent is not fun.
Right.
And you need those people around you to remind you why you're doing it, and I think who you are as you continue to learn. And
I might like talking about this because in my personality profile, my Myers-Briggs like competence is it, you know. So if I ever shed my competence, the main thing that I will want to do is make it invisible to other people. Yeah. Because I don't want to be caught the hermit crab out of the shell, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let anybody know I'm finding a new shell.
I'm sure you're the only one that feels this way. Yeah.
Well, my guess is I'm a little more prone to that than other people. Mm-hmm. So being transparent is really good for me. So that's the other people. Like, I'm going to go through this process right now, and I'm going to suck for a while.
Yeah.
And I want you to ride with me. I want feedback. But I really need support, and I need other learners and stuff like that, because I think I can do this, you know?
I'd say naming that early on with that, you know, with your people is probably helpful too. Like, here's what I'm thinking about. This is kind of a crazy leap for me. And I'm going to need your support. And even asking those questions of, do you think this is totally crazy, or does this fit for me?
So besides this being reflective about if it's the right season for you and surrounding yourself with some really supportive people and being transparent, I think there's a fourth thing that we've talked about quite a bit as Jacob's Well is just being able to asking yourself and having an answer. I can't tell you what the answer is, but having an answer to what are some inner personal practices that I can turn to on a regular basis to keep me going through this. And those can look like a lot of things, from breathing to prayer to reading certain things. But some personal time in nature, walks, exercise. So to be able to at least answer that question and use your people to hold you accountable to that too, I think can really help. Chris, you were mentioning something interesting too, that the more we do this and let ourselves be incompetent, the more
competence we build in that, yeah.
Yeah, we get more competent at being incompetent and learning and growing. And so the more we do it, the more we can do it.
Yeah, I think that helps, you know, many of us who struggle like you, Greg, with that sense of being the hermit crab out of the shell.
I notice you struggle with incompetence a lot.
You know me. I'm proud of it.
No, but you do. You need to learn to be a learner. I got to throw a kudo out to Eddie Hamilton, who really inspired these thoughts. You can find him on the web with his fantastic art at eddiehamiltonart.com. Look him up. An amazing guy who has learned to be a learner and does it with this amazing humility. I want to be more like Eddie. So thanks for listening to this podcast and being with us. Continue to listen for our Sunday message podcast and other leftovers. So we have all kinds of stuff that falls on the cutting room floor here that we like to dish out to you folks. So we're at jacobswell.net, or you can find us on Facebook as Jacob's Well Minneapolis.
And that was jacobs-well.net.
That's right. I was incompetent.
Woohoo!
But I'm learning.
He's got people.
I got my people. So continue listening, and thanks for being part of the conversation with us.